Our guest this half hour is Belita Ong, chairman or chair of Dalton Investments, to discuss the latest on markets. And Belita, we just had a supersized rate increase from the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, 75 basis points. But do you have a sense that the Fed might be ready to pivot to a slower pace of rate increases?
Hello, Paul. It's good to be back on. Yes, I think that the indications the Fed's receiving are giving them the room to reduce their interest rate hikes to 50 basis points. I don't know whether it will be 50 basis points, but they certainly have room now because it's clear that the higher interest rates have slowed down housing and that there is weakness in other numbers in the economy as well. So I believe the Fed has room to do so. The Fed, I believe, has been extremely consistent in its messaging, which is that the inflation rates now are still too high, well above the 2% target they have, and therefore they need to remain vigilant. And the one thing they look for is this expectation of inflation because it affects wage increases. And the market's currently pricing in something like a 5% interest rate going forward, which I think is probably where they'll get to and possibly pause at to see how the economy develops from there.
Yeah, so there is obviously a lag effect as these policy changes work their way through the system. But if we downshift to these smaller size rate increases, does that increase your confidence that perhaps the Fed can stick that soft landing that they're looking for?
Let's hope. And if they don't, though, it's not the end of the world. It's a little bit more pain in the near term. But then typically, if you have a harsher downturn, you have a stronger rebound. So either way, I think we're in for a slowdown in the economy and then some sort of a rebound, hopefully, if nothing else goes wrong in the world, which it could.
In terms of the US dollar, then, I know this is probably building your case for dollar weakness. You see 2023 as the year things go backwards for the greenback. How weak and how fast do you think it could get?
The dollar is very strong right now, and I think particularly against the yen. When you look at purchasing power parity, the yen is supposed to trade at something like 118 against the dollar, and it's 140s. So the dollar is extremely strong, and it's to be expected given the level of uncertainty in the world, which will continue. The other reason the dollar is strong is because the U.S. market is actually a reasonable place to be invested. The European markets are difficult because of the ongoing uncertainty with Russia and Ukraine. And Asia is slowing down because the largest trading partner all the countries have is China, which is slowing down. So it's not just that the uncertainty in the world is causing dollar strength. It's also because the U.S. economy and markets actually are strong. So perhaps the dollar will weaken, but I don't see a sharp decline anytime soon.
Belita, our last guest had a preference for fixed income over equities, but what are you looking for in terms of opportunity in the equities market?
We are a equity investor. We don't have a mandate to invest in fixed income specifically. And so while we think that fixed income is becoming more attractive, it's not an option for us in most of our mandates. That said, we actually believe that the time will come maybe quite soon when there will be opportunities in distressed fixed income in the States, and that there may well be broken deals in the private equity sector as well. So we think there is opportunity there already and that there will be more in the coming 12 months or so.
Do you believe we've found the floor in equities? And I'm thinking particularly like markets like the NASDAQ, which have come off a very, very long way and arguably were perhaps in bubble territory not so long ago.
You know, the thing about predicting turnarounds is that it's very difficult. So we try not to do it. We try to avoid doing so. And so we invest one company at a time. And when the opportunities are there to buy good companies in our estimation at bargain prices, we do so. And we find that's the best way to stay out of trouble and preserve the capital entrusted to us by our clients. So to answer your question, I don't know that we've reached a bottom. I would hope so. But in fact, I don't think the U.S. market is really dirt cheap. It's certainly not as cheap as some other markets around the world. Japan, for instance, I think is much cheaper. And it has better prospects going forward, I believe.
How about markets in China? Because we did see something of a rebound as we got what seemed to be the first suggestions of a possible end to COVID zero, but that policy really being put to the test. We just had another 28,183 new COVID cases for Tuesday. Do you think Chinese equities can withstand what's coming?
China is going to be a bumpy ride as it emerges out of this COVID lockdown. It's the direction is good, because it means that there'll be a freer flow of goods and people, and hopefully an improvement to world trade, because China is still the factory of the world, and lockdowns there in factories is extremely harmful to global trade. As far as opportunities in China, it's been made clear by the government that they want to promote common prosperity, and they do not encourage very large, very successful companies like Alibaba and Ant Financial. So the place to be in China, I believe, is the small mid-sized companies that are providing services and goods that support this common prosperity lifestyle. For Dalton, it's a very difficult place for us to invest in. We look for companies managed by people, entrepreneurs, whose interests are aligned with ours. And in China, many of the companies are run for the purpose of achieving policy, be it political policy, employment policy, or some sort of social goal. And so for us, it's very difficult. Also, the risks tend to be binary. For instance, in the private tutoring space, you know, one day it was a great business and the next day it was gone. So China for us has been an underweight, and most recently it's actually a place where we don't invest in anymore. I'm not saying it's uninvestable, but for us, it doesn't suit the way we invest.
You're not at all concerned that you could miss out on what could be the growth story of 2023?
We have missed out during the growth period in China, but it's more important to us to invest the way we know how, and the way we've invested the entire history of our firm. We would have to see a different way forward than just investing in the circumstances as they are today. And it might emerge, but right now there is no clear way for us to invest in China.
Very quickly, you like these well-run companies with a good story to tell. 10 seconds or so, give us a couple of investment ideas.
Sure. So in Japan, there's a company called Rinnai, which makes energy-efficient gas heaters. And it's a global company. It's trading at something like 6 times EV to EBITDA, which is very cheap. Mm-hmm. The bulk of its profits comes from repeated business, and that would be a great company to invest in.
All right. Belita Ong, Chair of Dalton Investments, thanks for joining us.